Welcome to Evening Chores, a podcast presented by Adobe Owl Ranch, which is my little homestead here in Hereford, Arizona. I hope you enjoy listening to it. Please hit the subscribe button and share it out to anybody that might be interested. And let me know what you think and anything that you might feel that it would improve the episodes or topics that you think might be interesting to hear about in the future. Thank you. Good evening. Welcome back to Evening Chores. Podcast where I'm walking around doing my chores and I talk about a specific subject or a group of subjects. Tonight I'm going to be discussing the way that we move our animals around on the homestead here. One of the main things that I thought about when I was getting a place that I was going to grow some animals on was how it was that I was going to move my animals around, how I was, you know, going to pen them up and all that. But I'll be honest, when I originally started, I kind of thought everything would be static pens. And that isn't at all how it ended up being. I do still have a chicken pen that is a static contraption. That isn't the preferred method. And I actually have it's kind of a medium range plan to get those chickens out of there. But the short term fix is that every day I let the chickens out and they roam probably average couple acres over a day. That lets them, they get out and scratch around and get their outside time and all that all day long. I actually have to train chickens, which, you know, it's not really training. You keep them in a pen for a while and they realize that's home. That's where they'll stay. I apologize if there's any wind noise here. Want to take care of the feedback. So over a period of time, I've determined that the way that I do that mostly here, hogs especially, is through the use of electric fence. I've got a pretty high-powered Patriot fencer. Patriot's the brand of the fencer that I've got. I don't think it's better than one you'll find locally, but I bought the Patriot because it could either be used on a... Boy, that startled me. Across here wearing my headlamp and there's just a set of red eyes. I was wearing a headlamp. There's the cat. Anyway, so I use the Patriot because of the ability for the one that I got. You use either DC 12 volt or AC 120 volt. So when I first got it, I didn't have a place that I could plug it into the wall. I just had a couple of car batteries that I would charge up. Not a great solution. I know everybody out there is yelling, got to use deep cycle this or that. Well, I had old truck batteries, so that works in the meantime. Up the feet out here. So I got the Patriot. I forget, I think it's like a 60-mile fence. I don't remember the joules or the milliamps or any of that. I do know, according to the fence code that I've got, tester I've got, it's at least 1,000 volts, and I can tell you from personal experience, it will make you up to do that into it. charger. Grounding rod there. Get your I recommend the copper wire. run that in, hook it in real solid to the ground side of your charger, run it out, and you want to get a really good connection to that ground stick. And then you're going to do that a couple or three times, depending where you're at, what the water is like, the water content of the ground is like, I should say. So the drier area you're in, the more ground space you need. So the only way an electric fence works is when it pulses, there's a condenser in there, it builds up charge, and then it cuts off charge. So when you are in that charged cycle, it's a really short time with a lot of voltage. And if you that'll keep your ground pretty good. Another way, an electrician back home told me you can do, which if you are using a solid perimeter fence with a high temporal electric wire system on it, this would be a great method for that. You run your hot wires, and run those insulators, of course. Good insulation. Anytime there's a shock, or anytime there's a spark, you're losing power. So you're going to put all your hot wires in an insulator of some kind. So plastic. There's a lot of the good corners or enamel, kind of a glass thing. There's all sorts of insulators. Keep all your wires in those. But then also, if you're running on an electric T-post system on that perimeter fence, you're not going to have hard internal fencing. That's not the way that I do this. So on that perimeter fence, you take a ground wire, you just take a regular high tension wire, and instead of putting it into any sort of insulator, what you do is you just wire it directly to those T-posts. And that distributes that ground around your property and keeps it close to it. That will report close to where your animals are going to get shot on. And that's the key to it. Electric fence doesn't work without having a strong shock. It's completely a psychological barrier. If you've got a high tensile system, it may keep some things in just from, you know, from the strength of it, but that's not the point of it. The main objective of the electric is to be more of a psychological emotional barrier. So you don't want to touch it, it'll hurt. So that's how the animals are the same way. It's not something to shock them a lot. They get shocked once, twice. They realize what it is. They stay away from that area. I'm pretty positive that my pigs can smell it. Okay. Zones around that area or what. But so that's how it works, I guess, from the animal's point of view. So that T-post idea is a way to ground it around your property. What I do here is just through the grounding rods. I haven't needed the external thing. I've got a different kind of a fence. Eventually I'd like to have a high fence around. Currently, I frankly don't have time to put in that kind of infrastructure. And I have other fencing that works. And if I'm out of breath, I apologize. Let's see. So you've got your grounding rod. Then you need to choose the conductors you use. Like I said, I use poly wire for the most part, or poly braid, I guess, is what I use. And I bought it in, I want to say it's a, well, now I can't remember if it's a 300 foot or a 300 meter roll. I think it might be a 300 foot roll. So I got two, I forget, I think they're Gallagher mini reels. No, I'm not recommending them, I'm not against them. They're good for something. They're time consuming. You're doing constant moves. You get a good reel. If you're going to have small areas, these work fine if you're not moving all the time. And with pigs, the way I am out here, I want a lot of disruption before I move them, so I'm not moving daily. So the mini reels work for me. I got that poly braid on there. I already said, pick a more fashionable color, something real bright. So that's your conductor, or you know, I use wire too. My bore is held in by a metal electric wire. It works. It's just more of a pain to move. So you choose your conductor, you choose your insulators. I'll tell you right now, do not cheap out on your step-in posts. I can't remember the name off the top of my head right now, but I got my step-in posts, the cheap plastic white ones that you see at any farm store. They're like $1 a piece. That's $1 a piece that you may as well just tear into little pieces and throw outside, because the way that the wire is held onto those, or if you're using like a tape, like a horse fence tape sort of a thing, the clips that are on those cheap plastic posts are garbage. They break off. They just, you know, they get brittle when they're cold, when they sit out in the sun. Those are garbage. So don't even waste your money on those. A good step-in electric fence post, for me here, it costs about $4 a piece. But that $4, it comes with a few options, or a few upgrades from that cheap plastic one. First, it's a flexible post, so in the wintertime it doesn't snap off from being cold. In the summertime, they do get a little softer than I'd like, but I'm in a really hot area, so that's just how it is. I'm willing to take that so that they don't break in the wintertime. It's got a smaller spike on the bottom, which you think, well, you don't want a smaller spike. That is not, it's not as strong. That's false. You want a nice, thin spike on the bottom of it. It's got some length to it, but isn't big around. Because otherwise, you can't force it into the hard soil that I've got out here. If you live in the Midwest, I don't have any idea. I haven't tried to put in the step-in posts. I don't know. I know you want to get these for the same reason, though, if they're more flexible. You don't break off the foot tread, which is what happens in those cheap plastic ones. Get yourself a good post, and then out here, you got to look for an area that you can put them into. So you can't just walk along and tread one of these things in real easy. You got to walk out, look for a place. If there's any kind of a local flora on the ground, a little shrub, anything like that, one of these little kind of sprouts of grass, that's a place that it will go in easier, because those roots have already broken up that soil a little bit. They've probably spent the better part of a year, at the very least, if you can see it, breaking up that soil so they can come out of the ground. So you take your post, you put it right in the middle of that little clump of grass. The post will go in easier there. If you don't have that, if you're driving across one of these places that's just been kind of a desiccated mess from over farming, you're going to want to carry a bucket of water or a hose, or what my little brother came up with, which I haven't tried yet because I haven't had to, but sounds like a great idea, is a big old long masonry bit on the end of a cordless drill. So you take your masonry bit, and I guess it wouldn't have to be, but it'll last longer if it is. Get yourself a masonry bit, and where you want to put that post, just walk along with your drill and you just drill it into the ground like it's concrete. Then you come along with that post and step right in. I think that's going to work great. I haven't had to use that idea yet, but I think it's a pretty good one. So the posts I get that I said they charge me $4 for. The only complaint that I've got with them is that they don't come pointy. They come with a blunt end, which I'm sure is a safety issue or something. So the first thing I do, I take the whole box, they come in a box of 50. I go over next to my bench grinder, and I spend an afternoon or an evening. I don't know, it gets to where, I don't know, you can probably do them in 20, 30 seconds apiece. You stand at that bench grinder, and you put a nice pencil tip on every one of those. So just like, you know, when you were in school or whatever, you had that number two pencil, and you'd go over to that sharpener, and you'd make it have a nice fine tip. You want it to just almost be sharp like a pencil on the end. Blunt at the very tip, so maybe you've got a, you know, a 16th or less, maybe a 32nd of an inch. But you want to have a nice fine taper on that. You don't want it to be a real abrupt point. You want it to have a nice long taper, at least out here. That way, when you go to push it in the ground, it's actually got, the ground can actually give around it. You can't push those flat-ended posts in out here. It doesn't matter. Now, the one thing I'll say at the corners, you need to have something to tie into, or I'll try to put up a picture of how I tie two of those posts together to make a corner that'll hold it, hold the strain. So the next thing is you choose your area out here. I just put it in around the other infrastructure I got, so I keep my pegs away from everything. So you choose your area, you walk it to see how far it is. You know, you get to where you can figure out how far something is based on the steps. Then you go along with your posts. You know, while you're walking it out, you go along with your posts. You drop them along every so often. It depends on the terrain. You know, if you get a little hill or something, you're going to put in a couple of more posts. If it's a big flat area, you can get by with a few less. As you go across there, you're going to put those, just drop them along, make sure you got the right area, and then you're going to go along and you're going to put them in a straight line. If you put them in a straight line, your fence will be stronger. You'll be able to stretch it tighter, all that. We can get into, you know, how tall for each kind of animal, all that. How many wires, I'll tell you. Everything I got right now that's held in by electric fence is held in with a single wire. It's a whole lot better. It takes a whole lot less wire. It's a lot less work. You just train them to one wire. Speaking of training, before you put them out there in that paddock, you've got them in some sort of a hard area. So what I had here was a lot of hog panels. Hog panels work great. They're just labor. They're a lot of labor to put them in, and they cost a lot per foot. So I had them in an area where the first pigs I got were already trained to electric, but I had to retrain them. So when you've got them in that area, what I would say is maybe you're going to leave them in that area for a minute. You've got them in those panels already. Just go ahead and go along and put your insulators on those T-posts that you've got in there already. Get a good long stretch of it, that electric fence in there along the side, where they get to where they realize, okay, there's an electric fence there, and leave them like that for a week or two. You know, some people will say, oh, you can do this in, you know, 2 days or what. I don't care. A little extra time never hurt anybody. Leave them in there with that electric fence and that hard hog panel behind, and let them shock themselves a couple of times on it. Because if you don't get shocked on it, they don't realize what it is. So they gotta walk up there and brush their nose on it a couple of times. And it might help out here. You know, if you're in a desert, put some water down there so they get a good. You want that first shock to be a good one. You want it to really shock them. And that sounds mean, but it's just like anything else. You know, you don't want your kid to touch the stove. So if they do, you have some sort of a mechanism that keeps them from doing it again. And I'll tell you, from hearing about my older brother, he didn't believe that the stove was hot. He touched it. Well, he learned the stove was hot. And he's fine. He just burned his finger. Same thing for pigs. They'll learn that wire is hot. So then, whenever they come near it, they'll know that they need to stay away. Eventually, you'll just take down that hog panel. And then they'll stay in. If you see him breaking out of that fence, well, you got to make sure that fence is hot. Make sure that they're trained to it. If they don't learn that way, what you can do is put across a corner of the paddock that you've got them in. Put in the posts and everything like you're putting in a regular fence. Put it across there. Make sure it's a real hot fence. Water that area so that they get a good ground. maybe you put a ground over there near it. So you run, you know, two wires. You can lay that the ground wire on the ground, it doesn't matter. For your other one, you got to make sure that it's insulated from everything for your hot wire. Make sure that they are able to realize that that fence is going to hurt if they touch it. And then after that, you can just set it up anywhere, and those pigs will stay in. In fact, I've got a sow out here. I'm pretty sure I could take the fence down completely. I could take that electric fence down, and she wouldn't come out of that area for probably 4 or 5 days. If I took the posts and everything out, as long as I don't disturb the ground, she can tell where that pen was, and she'll stay in there. Now, if you take a tractor out and you start moving the ground around, then she will move out. She'll leave that area. But if you just take the post up and the wire out, she won't go out of her perimeter where it was for probably like 3 or 4 days. And then it'll be real slow and she won't go very far from it. Because I know, because I've tried to move her, and it isn't a quick operation. Which, by the way, that trick of moving the dirt around with the tractor works good. Throw your box blade or your drag or whatever on the back. Move that board and take all those posts out, move the border around if they don't want to move across. Then they can't tell where it is nearly as well. They'll move across the border a lot easier. So, let's see. I went over the fencer, the ground, your conductors. I don't recommend using T-posts for your posts except for the corners because it just takes so long to drive them in the ground out here. And they're kind of expensive too. And they're even worse to get out, boy. Although, I'll show a video. I've got one somewhere of how you can pull a post out pretty easy, either with a tractor or you don't need a tractor. If you've got a car, you can pull out a fence post if you got an old spare tire laying around that you don't want to use anymore. Let's see. So the type of post, how to train a pig to a fence. And that works for everything, you know. If you got sheep or cows, well, you want to train anything to electric before you let them wander around, because otherwise you'll have animals all over the countryside. Let's see, I guess the final thing is you can't keep in a baby animal. Like these piglets that I've got back here, they're about probably 6-7 weeks old. If you try to keep those in with electric fence, it doesn't work. Now these, you know, maybe if you if you did a bunch of stuff that you shouldn't do, you might be able to keep them in with it. But a little bitty, like a baby animal, especially a hoofed animal, like a pig or, you know, calves often, they'll get through a fence no problem. Because they don't ground. So if they don't weigh enough to actually have enough contact with the ground. I've seen them walk up and put their faces on a wire. So an animal that doesn't weigh much, doesn't have much contact with the ground, and they just don't get shocked the same. So, you know, obviously if you're in a wet area, that's a different thing. But out here on the, you know, dry sand and all that, a piglet will not be kept in by a electric wire. Now, a piglet won't generally go too far away from its mother, so you might not have to worry about it. But it doesn't matter out here. I've got predators and stuff, so I keep all of my piglets in with a hard structure. You know, either it's like next to a block building, or, you know, a chain link will keep in some. Hog panels are the best that I can find. Or, you know, get some sort of a good wooden fence. And if you're worried about your sow tearing up that fence, we'll just run your electric wire in there anyway at sow nose level, or a little bit lower. And that'll keep the sow away from it. And then the piglets will be kept in by the hard structure. Let's see, I think that's about all there is to electric fence. Make sure you check it regular. And you will get shocked more than anything else in the property. So you gotta work with it. So welcome to that. I've been shocked 3 times, 3 different spots in my body at the same time, trying to wire some stuff up, so. Electric fence doesn't work very good if your animals are stupid. Like, chickens are not a particularly bright animal. I've seen a rooster try to fight with something that accidentally got electrified. So, you don't want to try to keep a chicken in with electric fence. They're easy to keep in other ways. We can get to that some other time. You can use electric to keep predators away from your chickens. Kind of the opposite of keeping the sows away from your structures. You just put the electric around and it'll keep coyotes and stuff out. Let's see. I think that's all there is to the electric part. There's a lot of good solar options out there. There's There's all kinds of good ways to electrify things. I recommend putting around the perimeter, even though I haven't got to it yet. I see how that would be advantageous to me. And there are some good variable options. They would work really good out here, actually, with the dry soil and all that. I have it partially buried and partially on the ground because I move it a fair amount. So I think that's all there is to the electric fence thing, which started with me talking about how I was moving animals around. The chickens are able to walk around. They actually can go under the fence without getting shocked, so I don't worry about them. They go in and out of the pig pens all the time. Pigs don't bother them. Chickens pick up all the old, the spilled feed. Pigs spill a lot of feed. The chickens go out and eat that, and bugs and all kinds of stuff from the hog lots. So it keeps everything cleaner and less waste and less feed that I have to buy for chickens as well, because there isn't a whole lot of difference between a hog ration and a laying ration, aside from calcium, which my chickens get plenty of anyway. So that is another advantage of electric, as far as letting your animals kind of a polyphase concept where you got different animals in together. And I think I've run out of things to say about electric. I do recommend a mobile infrastructure for your animals. So chicken tractors and electric fence and as much as you can. I'll show you my chicken tractor at some point. It's not the Cadillac that it could be or that I thought it was going to be, but it works good enough for what it is. All right, so I think I've rambled on enough. And I've only got one more left to do. I couldn't do that while I was on this thing. So I think I will sign off of here. And thank you for watching, or listening, I guess. I do also have a YouTube channel that I use sometimes, and a Facebook page that I also use, but I've been having difficulties getting those videos to upload. I'm on a pretty spotty cell service out here. The internet is not great from my Wi-Fi in my house either. So those have been put on a bit of a temporary hold, but I do have, if you search for Adobe Owl Ranch, you'll find it on Facebook, on YouTube, or www.adobeowlranch.com. And go to any of those things. They'll link to the other ones. I think there's actually a Twitter page out there, but I don't use the Twitter page. I just got that handle because I didn't want somebody else to have it and keep misrepresent themselves as us. So if you're in the area down here in the Hereford area, feel free, hit me up with a message. If you farm tour or whatever, I'm around a lot of the time. And if you have suggestions or comments, or if you think that there's a topic that you'd like to hear about, please go ahead and either stick it in the comments or send it to me through Facebook, or if you go over, there's a contact me page over on the website. Or you can, well, I'm changing email services right now, so let's not do the email just yet. Either one of those things works great. Please like, share, subscribe, send it out. I comment, positive, negative, it's all good to me. I'd like to have the positive reviews, but, if you got something bad to say, just send it to me first. We'll see if we can fix it. And say I thank you for listening, and I hope to be able to provide more information about the kind of farming that we do out here. All right. Bye-bye.